My text this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 16. God said to Ezekiel, I became their sanctuary. The prophet Ezekiel lived in the 6th century before Christ. And at that time, the Babylonians had conquered Israel and taken some of the Israelites into exile in Babylon. And Ezekiel was one of those people who was living in Babylon. It was a very sad time for the Israelites. They'd been conquered, defeated, and their leading people were in exile. And the psalmist describes how they felt when he writes, by the rivers of Babylon, I sat down and wept when I remembered Zion. Their great wish was to be back in Zion or Jerusalem. And God says to Ezekiel that the Israelites shouldn't be overcome by sorrow and despair. Because wherever they're living, even if they're in exile in a foreign land, God is with them. God's message to them through the prophet Ezekiel is, I became their sanctuary. And so the Israelites were suffering. And of course, people suffer today. There can be various causes. Some people may be born with certain disabilities, physical or mental. There are those people who are hit by drought or famine or hurricane or some other natural disaster. And then there's those who experience a serious accident. Maybe it's a car accident. Maybe it's a fire. And I would say that probably the most serious argument against the existence of God is suffering, especially when that suffering is perceived to be innocent suffering or undeserved suffering. And so, what can we say about this? Well, some people argue that just the existence of suffering shows there is no God. For surely, if there was a God who is all-loving, all-powerful, and all-knowing, then there wouldn't be suffering. And the existence of such a God raises for us perplexities and problems. But let's look at it from the other point of view. What if there is no God? Well, that also raises perplexities and problems. Because if there were no God, then this world is an accident and life is surely, ultimately, meaningless. If there's no God, there's no final justice. There's no final triumph of good over evil. There's no life after death. And there's no hope. And so the argument that there is no God doesn't answer the problem of suffering. It simply raises other perplexities and other questions. Now, for those who suffer, one of the results can be that they become angry. And if the people who suffer have faith in God, then they can become angry with God. And we shouldn't see this as something which is necessarily wrong. Let's look at the Bible. Take the Psalms, for example. Some of the psalmists suffered, and they expressed anger with God. The 22nd Psalm, in it we read, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, and art so far from saving me, from heeding my groans?" And then we think of the book of Job. Job suffered terribly, and he too became angry. At one point he says, "Why was I not stillborn? Why did I not die when I came out of the womb?" And so we see in the Bible that there are people who suffered, and they express their anguish and their anger to God. But one of the things that we need to remember is that our understanding and our knowledge are limited. We can't understand the greatness of God. We can't fully understand the love of God. And when we read that book of Job, when we come to the end, we find there's a conversation between Job and God. And at the end of the conversation, Job says, "I have spoken of things which I have not understood." And so Job acknowledges that God can do all things, and his understanding is limited, and his knowledge is limited. But I put it to you that when we're thinking of the problem of suffering, that an even more important question than why do we suffer is how should we respond to suffering? And of course, when we are thinking about why we suffer, I'm sure that we need to remember that sometimes humanity brings upon itself its own sufferings. People's greed and selfishness and unkindness sometimes causes a great deal of humanity's sufferings. And so we always need to remember that. But as I've said, a more important question is, how do I respond to suffering? Because one thing we can be sure of is that at some time in our lives, we're going to meet troubles and sorrows. And so we'll have to cope with them. Well, there are wrong reactions. We can become bitter or resentful. That's certainly not going to be helpful. Or we can be self-pitying and wallow in our circumstances, our misfortunes. And that too is unlikely to be helpful. Or we may simply become resigned and just accept our sorrows and want to do nothing about them. But I put it to you that bitterness, self-pity, and resignation will all probably heighten suffering rather than in any way help our situation. But there are right reactions, and if we approach suffering positively, then a positive approach can increase in us sensitivity, understanding, character, and spirituality. Pat Seed was a lady in her 50s, and she was told that she had cancer. And she was also told that she'd about 6 months to live. And Pat Seed decided that for the rest of her life, she would do something positive. And so she went on a fundraising crusade to buy a sophisticated scanner for the Christie Hospital in Manchester for folk suffering with cancer. And in fact, Pat Seed lived about 6 more years, and she also raised over £3 million for her project. The scanner was bought, it was put into use, and many people were scanned, and doubtless many lives were saved, or at least prolonged. The Reverend David Watson was an Anglican minister, and David Watson too was diagnosed with cancer. He eventually died in 1984. And when he was diagnosed, David Watson took the decision to continue with his writing, his preaching, and his broadcasting. And one of the books that he wrote at this stage in his life was Fear No Evil, which is an excellent book about the problem of suffering. He took a positive approach to his present life, and he planned for the future. And he found that he developed a deeper faith in God, and people told him that his own ministry became a better ministry. We are probably never going to answer the question, why do people suffer? But a more important question is, how do we respond to our suffering? And if we respond positively, I put it to you that that can deepen character and spirituality within ourselves and also help us to be more sensitive and understanding towards other people. How should we respond? Perhaps the most important response is faith in God and God's love. God said to Ezekiel to share with the Israelites who were in exile in Babylon, who had been defeated, who had been conquered. He said to Ezekiel, give them this message, I became their sanctuary. And that message is still relevant for us today. God is our sanctuary. When I was minister in Ossett in Yorkshire. I was also Free Church chaplain at Clayton Hospital in Wakefield. And I remember talking to a patient there. He was a lay preacher. And he said to me that he'd had an operation. And just before his operation, he'd said to the consultant, "I'm in your hands and I am in God's hands." One of the great figures of the 19th century was the Earl of Shaftesbury. He was a great social reformer and also a leading Christian. And he was also someone who was prone to periods of darkness and depression. And on one occasion, he had a half an hour's conversation with the great Baptist minister, the Reverend C.H. Spurgeon. And Spurgeon wrote that the Earl of Shaftesbury was in low spirits, and he was talking as if everything was going wrong in the world. And so Spurgeon reminded him that God is still alive. When Ezekiel wrote, the Israelites didn't have any clear belief in the life after death. That only came later. In our reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, then, of course, the people, the Christians, believed in the life after death. And in that reading, Paul says that he himself has known suffering and trouble. And he says that he and his fellow Christians have experienced trouble and danger. But he says that in all their troubles, persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, and the sword, one of the things they've been able to hang on to is this conviction that there's nothing in death or life, nothing in all creation that can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Methodist minister, Dr. W.E. Sangster, was visiting a friend, and he knew his friend was very ill, and he was struggling to find the right words to say to his friend to comfort him and strengthen him, when his friend spoke and said, "I'm not afraid, Will. If I get better, I will go on a nice holiday with my wife. If I don't, I will fall into the arms of my Saviour. Whatever happens, I can't lose." In this life and in the life hereafter, God is our sanctuary. Amen.